Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the August 25th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's kick off in London, where the Springboks of South Africa are playing the All Blacks of New Zealand Friday evening in a high-profile Rugby World Cup warm-up match. A capacity crowd of 82,000 will be on hand at Twickenham Stadium. South Africa's captain, Siya Kolisi, says it's not correct to describe the encounter as a friendly game.
This is not a friendly game, and it's never been. We've never had any friendlies against the All Blacks, and I think it's a good thing. As you can see, the team we also pulled out as a group, and we're all excited, and we're looking forward to the battle. It's going to be a physical game as usual, and I think there'll be opportunities for some great play for the back as well.
Kolisi says the Springboks want to give the fans their money's worth.
I mean, 82,000 people paid to come see us. There's no time to hold back. And I think I don't think we'll ever get this opportunity in our lifetime to play outside the World Cup in the Northern Hemisphere for a game like this. And we don't want to disappoint people that paid money to come see this game.
Meanwhile, the captain of the All Blacks, Sam Kane, says the team is focused on the showdown against the Springboks.
Yeah, it's really important. There's been no chat about anything other than this week, to be honest. Right about improving performance. Another opportunity to put on the black jersey, and I think it's going to be a pretty special and unique occasion playing Springboks at Twickenham, sold out. So the group's pretty excited to get back out, especially considering the starting group hasn't actually played in a wee while now. So just to be able to get back out there and hopefully put in one that we can be proud of, it's exciting.
This will be the final warm-up match for both teams ahead of next month's Rugby World Cup in France. South Africa and New Zealand have each lifted the Rugby World Cup trophy three times, with the Springboks looking to defend their title in France.
This is Colonel Sam Amedou, retired President FIBA Africa Zone 3. You are once more listening to Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thank you very much and have a good day.
Thank you very much, Colonel Sam, and I hope you and all our Sunny Side of Sports listeners are having a good day and will have a good weekend ahead. The FIBA Men's Basketball World Cup tipped off Friday. The 32-team tournament is being staged in three countries, Japan, Indonesia, and the Philippines. In the Philippines Friday, Italy defeated Angola 81-67. Utah Jazz forward Simone Fontecchio scored 19 points for the Italians, while Petro Atletico point guard Chidi Dundao scored 19 points for the Angolans. Now, Angola has been one of the top teams in Africa for years, winning 11 AfroBasket titles. At the FIBA World Cup, its best performance came in Japan in 2006, when it finished in ninth place overall. From basketball to volleyball, Kenya has captured its record 10th African women's volleyball title in Yaounde, Cameroon. As a result, the Kenyan women also qualified to represent Africa at the 2024 Paris Olympics. Joining us now from Yaounde is Moki Edwin Kinsica. Moki, welcome back to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Young, welcome to Cameroon for the Sunny Side of Sports. Hundreds of fans applaud in Yaounde as the national women's volleyball team of Kenya lifts gold for the 10th time as women's African volleyball champions. Kenya thrashed Egypt 3-0 to lift the trophy. Kenya women's volleyball coach Paul Bitok says hard work pays off and he is proud of his team.
We are very happy here in Cameroon. The excitement
for winning the 10th title and also qualifying for the Olympics 2024. It's a really great moment for Kenya, for getting this title from the Aussie Cameroon after winning 3 consecutive years. We worked very hard for it. As you can see, we have expertise from Brazil. We have empowerment program, which we have run for the last 4 months before coming to this competition.
The best player of the competition is Sharon Chepchuma, still from Kenya. Sharon dedicates her trophy to the many fans in her home country and across Africa.
I'm so proud of my teammates, and I'm also proud of myself. Second time to be the MVP. It's not easy, but the support that I've been getting from my teammates, it has been massive, and I really appreciate it. So I'm saying I will keep on working hard, I'll keep on fighting, and I'll keep on encouraging African players, not only in Kenya, but all African players, to work hard and have that determination so that they can achieve whatever they want in life. As an African girl, I believe that this time round, in the world, they will respect Africa because we got good talent and we are ready to conquer it, and we are ready to show them that Africa has good talent.
The 2023 finalists, Kenya and Egypt, were among favorites. The two teams were the most dominant forces in the tournament, with Kenya winning all of their matches and Egypt losing only one before losing again in the finals. Egypt striker Sabin Hassan acknowledges they met a more determined Kenya.
We studied this team, Kenya, a lot. They play yesterday very well. Kenya is a very, very, very good team. Thank you.
Kenya therefore lifts gold and Egypt silver. Defending champions and consecutive 3-time winners Cameroon defeated Rwanda by 3-1 to win bronze at the championship. Peter Nonnenberg, Cameroon's head coach, says his team is still very young, but promising.
We have to be realistic. A lot of experienced players, they stop playing for this team, and to change and bring new players on the level what had before, this needs time and work. In 2 years we can win if we get enough time to work. And you see, like Kenya, they were all year long more or less together working, paid by FIVB to travel all around the world and playing all around the world and tournaments. If we get enough budget simply like that to work, for sure we can be on the same level like that, maybe better.
But Kenya's coach Paul Bitok says Cameroon did not make use of some of its players who are among the top in the continent. Bitok says such players are needed for Cameroon to do well in the 2025 FIVB Volleyball Women's World Championship.
To build a player like Moma and Chumba, it takes more than 4 years to have such players. And I really request the nation of Cameroon, Ministry of Sports, to sit down and bring us Moma. We want to represent World Championship when we have Moma in the team. We don't want to go as only Kenya. We want to represent as Africa, and we want to have the best representation.
Many people here in Yaoundé agree that the Cameroonian Volleyball Federation did a good job of beautifully organizing the competition. The Central African States officials applaud fans who massively participated at the event.
Le Cameroun adhère à cette vision chère aux Nations Unies qui veut le sport comme un aliment du développement.
Cameroon's Sports Minister Narcisse Mwale Kambi says Cameroon gave in its best to organize the 2023 Women's African Volleyball Championship because the Central African State adheres to the United Nations ideology of sports as an instrument for development, peace, living together, and mutual understanding between states, people, and communities all over the world.
Différents horizons, de différentes nationalités, de différentes cultures.
Morocco, Rwanda, Burkina Faso, Nigeria, Lesotho, Mali, and Uganda return home as nations that have never won the championship. Egypt, Tunisia, and Cameroon have the record of 3-time winners, and the continent's giants, Kenya, carry the 10th Women's African Volleyball Top Trophy in Yaoundé. Kenya will represent Africa at the 2024 Olympic Games in Paris before joining Cameroon and Egypt as the continent's ambassadors to the 2025 FIVB Volleyball Women's World Championship, contested by the senior women's national teams of the members of the Fédération Internationale de Volleyball, which Hong Kong, Indonesia, Philippines, Thailand, and Vietnam have expressed interest to host. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Moki Edwin Kinzuka in Yaoundé, Cameroon.
Thanks, Moki. And let's give a Sunny Side of Sports salute to the Kenyan ladies, winners of a record 10th African Women's Volleyball Championship. Now let's go to South Africa, where the establishment of a professional women's cricket league is a groundbreaking move for the sport in the country and the continent. Piloted by the sport's national federation, Cricket South Africa, it's only the fourth pro women's league in the world, following those in powerhouse nations Australia, England, and India. Now female cricketers in South Africa can earn a living from playing the sport they love. Joining us now from Durban with more details is Myron Naika. Sporty greetings, Myron!
Sporty greetings from Durban, Sonny. August is Women's Month in South Africa, an opportunity to reflect and celebrate the achievements of women in the country. Cricket South Africa seized the moment with the announcement of a first ever pro women's cricket league. The formation of the competition comes on the back of the women's national team's success at the recently hosted T20 Women's World Cup. The Proteas finished as runners-up to Australia, highlighting the tremendous growth of the women's game. Lawson Naidu, Cricket South Africa's board chairperson, heralded the launch of the league as a historic moment for women's sport on the continent.
The launch of this league represents yet another manifestation of our desire to make space for women players to express themselves in this wonderful sport of ours. I am confident that through this league, more women cricketers will get the benefit of showcasing their skills and delight our fans with their talent. This is, however, not the end of the road for the development of the women's game. It is but a critical step along that journey. Much more remains to be done, and much more work will have to be done.
The six-team league has been funded by the government sports department. The women's game has been steadily growing in South Africa. CSA first introduced pro contracts in the national team back in 2013. At the time, only six players were being paid. Last year, that number jumped to 15. CSA Public Affairs Executive Rifense Shiners says their aim is to show potential financial backers that female cricketers are capable of producing a compelling product.
The issue of lack of sufficient sponsorship or investment into the women's game is what is being used as an excuse not to further or to bring equality or equity. But we have to start somewhere. As CSA, we said we will start with or without the investment. We need 32 million to be able to run this league properly at the standard and level that we wish to run it at. But currently we can afford 10 million. But did that stop us? No. We've decided that our supply will create demand.
Former Proteas all-rounder and now women's head coach at Cricket South Africa's National Academy, Denisha Devnarine, told VOA that the league will inevitably raise the standard of cricket in the country.
It's a history being made, so it's a massive occasion. It's very momentous. I think what it does, obviously, like the main thing is that it's, you know, like girls can solely focus on cricket now. You know, they can devote more time to their game. They can attend more sessions. They fully professionalize. This is their job now. And obviously with that comes a lot of benefits. One is that we obviously hope that the standard of cricket and the level of provincial cricket uplifts itself with better performances. We can be better on and off the field.
It will also enhance the pipeline of players coming through. While representing your country is a dream for every talented cricketer, the league now provides an alternative way to earn money.
From a talent point of view or from a high performance point of view, you know, it let girls, participation of girls will be more bigger now. Knowing that, you know, we're working in an environment where it is cutthroat and the best only makes it to the pro tier level. Now you can be a great provincial cricketer as well and still earn a good living. And I think that's what's the big thing about it, is that our participation rate will go up high.
For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Myron Naika in Durban, South Africa.
Thanks, Myron. VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. You can follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook, X, formerly known as Twitter, and at voaafrica.com. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. My X, formerly known as Twitter handle, is at VOA Sunny Sports. And if you go to voaafrica.com, you can listen online to the Sunny Side of Sports, as well as past episodes. Hanna Berzalova may not have won a medal in the 35-kilometer race walk at the World Athletics Championships in Budapest, but the Slovak enjoyed a memorable day after teammate Dominik Cerny proposed at the finish line.
In that moment, I concentrate just to Hanka's eyes, and she was just the word for me. World for me, so I forgot about everything and was like in our bubble, emotion bubble. And when she said yes, I was like yes, and was a life changing. Thank you.
He saved me some seconds, I would say, that I was really fast at the end. And when I saw him, I couldn't hear anything, but I was just shocked and I was full of emotions. And yeah, it was really nice. Now when I'm thinking about it, it's more and more emotional, because at the time there was like really, really hard to absorb everything, but yeah, it's really emotional for me.
An emotional moment for Hanna Berzalova. Yes, she said yes to the marriage proposal from teammate Dominik Cerny. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and the artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Thanks, Heather. Samson Omale joins us once again with another spicy package of African sports news. Sporty Friday greetings, Samson.
Sporty Friday greetings to you too, Sunny. We begin the wrap of Africa's sport highlight for this weekend with Africa's elite football club competition, the CAF Champions League. After a highly entertaining opening round of the CAF Champions League first preliminary round, clubs are preparing for yet another action action-packed weekend of AFCA club football. After holding on to a narrow 1-0 victory in Ghana, Medeama SC travelled to Nigeria with a slim advantage ahead of their return leg with Remo Stars at the Remo Stars Stadium in Ikene. Medeama SC head coach Evans Adote is confident his side will get a favourable result against Remo Stars in their CAF Champions League preliminary round second leg clash.
I have nothing to say, this is how we are going to play. But it's a matter of making sure we keep the one goal behind. We go in the fight for a win, or we can defend the one goal. Trust me, we are not going to come back empty hands.
In Zambia, Power Dynamos host Namibia's Africa Stars after a 2-1 first leg loss in Soweto. Dynamos will not only be looking at getting a result at Ndola's Levi Mwanawasa Stadium, but also aiming at getting a confidence-boosting win ahead of their start to the Zambian Premier League next week. But Namibia's Africa Stars coach Prince George Kofi told reporters at the airport in Lusaka that they are in Zambia for business.
We are here for business. We won in South Africa, Johannesburg, by 2-1. We know it's not going to be an easy game, but we are poised for action.
A match to certainly look forward to this weekend is, without a doubt, Al Hakli Benghazi's trip to Aba in Nigeria, where they will face former champions Enyimba FC of Nigeria. The two sides produced one of the most electrifying, high-scoring fixtures last weekend that concluded in a 4-3 victory for the Libyans, who will have their work cut out in Aba. In the northern parts of the continent, Tunisian giant Etoile du Sahel will travel to the Shahid Hamalui Stadium in Constantine, Algeria, with a 2-0 cushion to face CS Constantine. While the Tunisians carry somewhat of a comfortable lead, the host will be buoyed by the highly vocal fans of Constantine, who are known to create an intimidating atmosphere in their full voice. A similar uphill task awaits Uganda's Vipers SC, who will be aiming at reversing a 2-0 loss suffered at the hands of Botswana's Jawarang Galaxy last weekend. Further down the continent, former champions Orlando Pirates of South Africa will welcome Comoros Jabal FC with a slender 1-0 advantage following a successful trip to the Islanders last weekend. Pirates first team coach Jose Riviero and team captain Innocent Muela are keen on getting the job done at home.
So far so good, and yeah, looking for the time to play at home in a attractive competition like CAF Champions League, our first game at home, and hopefully, and I'm sure that we're going to offer a good performance one more time.
Happy to be back home at our training facility after a tough trip, preparing really, really well for the upcoming match in the second leg. We are excited and looking forward to the match. Like the coach has said, a very interesting competition, and we want to do well.
And now to basketball. FIBA Africa aims to continue its development project this year, and as part of this initiative, the FIBA Africa Regional Youth Camp will take place in 2023, following similar successful events in 2021 and 2022. The upcoming FIBA Africa Regional Youth Camp is slated for the second half of September. Separate camps will be organized for boys and girls as per FIBA Africa's decision. For the first youth camp of the year, boys will gather in Bamako, Mali from September 20th to September the 22nd. An all-girls camp will take place in Kigali, Rwanda from September 26th to the 28th. In each event, 45 players from 15 countries and 15 coaches will be in action, with 15 female coaches attending the Kigali event. Victor Williams is the CEO of NBA Africa.
It's important for the NBA to support FIBA in the regional camps because we have a shared commitment to growing the game on the continent. Predictable pathway for kids to go from grassroots to elite.
And now to Uganda, where that country has a new sports law. This law will, among others, streamline the administration and management of sports and the incorporation, registration, management and recognition of national sports associations and sport clubs in the country. Presidents of the Ugandan Professional Boxing Commission, a body responsible for professional boxers, as well as the Ugandan Boxing Federation, which caters for amateur boxing, described the new law as timely and futuristic. Moses Muhage is a president of the Uganda Boxing Federation. He explains why.
For some time, we've had a bit of challenges when there are individuals organizing sports events that are not coordinated, not supervised, and not good for the development of the sport.
For his part, Salim Uhuru, president of the Uganda Professional Boxing Commission, believes the new law will solve the problems of wages remuneration for Ugandan boxers.
I want to see the professional fighter who is making Uganda proud, who is in that ring sweating to be paid his hard-earned money, to be the beneficiary. But what has been there, people have been taking advantage. We have such good boxers that have been thrown out. So this is the right time, and I thank God it's the right time that has come.
And now to Namibia, where the country's culture and tradition will be the focus of the Namibia Indigenous Sports Festival, scheduled for Sunday the 27th of August. The festival will showcase and promote the diverse traditions of indigenous and marginalized communities. Sally Jason, Marketing and Communications Officer for the Namibia Indigenous Games, said the sports festival will have deep historical and cultural roots of Namibia.
Thanks, Samson. That's Samson Omale.
This is Sonny Sandals Sports.
Here's something to crow about. The newly crowned world's fastest man, American Noah Lyles, is going after his third world 200-meter title later Friday evening in Budapest. VOA's Gwen Ooten has more details for us. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Earlier this week, sprinter Noah Lyles won gold for the United States in the men's 100 meters with a personal best time of 9.83 seconds. And now he's on the brink of winning double sprint gold in the 200 meters. Lyles ran his 200-meter heat on Thursday in a race that was delayed after the golf cart that was transporting him and other runners to the stadium collided with another cart. However, the Olympic bronze medalist was able to shake off the effects of the crash to ease past the competition into the finals, where he will race for a third consecutive world title in the 200 meters. Lyles has been full of confidence during this year's World Championships, and ahead of the competition, he told reporters that a lifetime of struggle gave him a self-belief that has literally put him on the fast track to success.
I've lived my whole life, to be honest, fighting. I mean, all my early years was just fighting to get out of the hospital. You know, after that, it was just fighting to get out of school, dealing with dyslexia, ADD, trying to find my own way. Now, you know, I'm fighting on the track. Now, I don't have a problem saying what my dreams are. And to be honest, I find it funny when I go to, you know, races, Diamond Leagues, and everybody's like, oh, do you think you're going to run fast? And you know, they're scared to say it. I'm like, man, if you believe you're going to run fast, you don't believe in yourself. You know, I don't care if you guys think I can do it or not. I don't even care if I don't do it. But I'm definitely going to say what I believe I can do. Because if I can't tell that to myself, then how am I going to believe it's going to happen?
Speed runs in Noah's family. His father won gold in the 4x400 relay at the World Championships in 1995. His mother competed as a student for Seton Hall University. His younger brother Josephus has carried on the family tradition as a runner in both the 400 and 800 meters, while Noah has chosen the shorter sprints. And now at age 26, he's one of the most talked about athletes in track and field. Lyles has drawn comparisons to legendary Jamaican sprinter Usain Bolt for his showmanship and speed on the track. He could become only the second man after Bolt to win three 200-meter world titles. In July, Lyles clocked a time of 19.47 seconds in that event, the fastest time this year, and broke Usain Bolt's record for finishing the most 200-meter races in under 20 seconds. The American sprinter is now on the verge of becoming the first man to win both the 100 and 200 meters at a world championships since Bolt last achieved that feat for the third time in 2015. He finished Thursday's 200-meter heat with a time of 19.76 seconds, and all eyes will be on Noah Lyles for the final on Friday, to see if he can find the 6/10 of a second to break Usain Bolt's record of 19.19 and a place in history. And that is all from me, Sonny. Back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uden. And that wraps up the August 25th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in and have a nice weekend. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.